when I was, before I had Jonah, before I birthed Jonah, ooh, that was tough, I was listening to Dr. Dawson, and he was talking about this thing he does with his kid, that he only gives his son 10 toys, and every time his son gets a new toy, he has to get rid of the old one, and that would teach the kid value. Well, for as many of you have seen my house, you've seen toys splattered everywhere, and if you're lucky enough to go to one special room in the back, you see boxes filled and filled with toys. The toys you see him carrying in church is only like 1% of the amount of toys he has. And it never ceases to amaze me that no matter how many toys he has, if he sees one kid pick up a toy that he doesn't have, he wants that one toy. And he'll cry and throw a fit, even if it's not his toy. The same is with food. No matter how much he ate, if he sees candy, if he sees cake, no matter what he ate before, it's never enough. He always wants more. He's never satisfied with just his toys or with just the amount of food he eats. And if you think about this, sometimes it's true even as you grow up. You know, we can eat all we want, and at the same time, that doesn't satisfy sometimes the hunger we have deeper within us. We could have all the things we want in the world, things we always wish that we had, and once we get it, it's like we're still thirsty for something more. And Jesus says in John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus is talking about a deeper hunger and a deeper thirst that he can satisfy. Not just something that no matter what we eat, no matter what we possess, we cannot have. Before we take communion, I want to spend some time looking at a passage in John chapter 4. It's a story of the woman at the well. And so John chapter 4, I invite you to turn with me. In John chapter 4, Jesus is traveling through Samaria, and he's going to pass right through. Now, you got to understand, during this time, the Jewish people did not like the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans, the people from Samaria, they are the Jewish race who intermarried with from people from Babylon during the exile. These are mixed kids, in a sense. And so, in the Jewish culture, who thought they were God's chosen people, their bloodline, this was something, a disgrace, to go and marry another nation. And so the Jewish people did not like the Samaritans. And likewise, the Samaritans didn't like the Jews. And so what would happen, there's this animosity. Sometimes as Jews would pass through Samaria, they would detain a Jewish person just for the heck of it because they didn't like it. And they had these arguments about where do you worship? These people said you worship on a hill because that's where Abraham and Jacob built an altar. And then the Jews are like, yeah, you worship in Jerusalem. And so there's a lot of things going on, animosity between these people. And so here in verse 7 it starts. Jesus is sitting by a well when there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Verse 7. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the inner city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? Some people will look at this verse, her question, as either greatly perplexed, like, what is going on? How can this person ask me? You don't talk to Samaritans. Or it could be sort of a sarcastic remark. What, we're dirt to you until you need something. And so there's a little hostility here, we get a sense. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you'd have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw the water, and the water is deep. Where then do you go to get living water? Are you no greater than our father Jacob? Are you who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle? And so she thinks this water is some sort of running water. He's like, How do you get the stream? Where are you going to get this? And Jesus answered, and he said to her, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of springing up, a well of water springing up to eternal life. And the woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw water. We know that this woman is coming in the midst of the day during the heat. And it's natural in this time, in this culture, for women to come to the well at night. And many of you guys know this and you've heard the story. The women come at night because it's cooler and they come together and they share, they talk what's going on in the town. They get water together and they walk back together. But this woman is coming alone. Either she has an urgent need or she doesn't want to hang out with these people. And if we read on, as many of you know, there's something in her life that would make her want to ignore these people. Something that probably makes them scorn her, reject her, talk about her, treat her as dirt. And so she probably is going now because she doesn't want to hang out with these people. And so as Jesus offers her this living water, she's confused. She doesn't understand what he's saying. She's like, if I have this water, I'll never have to come to this well again. I'll never have to deal with these people. I could ignore them. I could hide from them. I could run from these people who are my problems. I don't ever have to deal with them again. And so she thinks Jesus is talking about a physical thirst, but Jesus is trying to talk about something deeper in her life. And so he says to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have said well. I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly. So what Jesus tries to do to this woman is make her realize the extent of her hunger, where she really thirsts. And what something only Jesus can do is she reveals a deeper thirst and a deeper hunger than this woman's life. She thinks her problem are these people. She thinks these people, once if she could get this water, that she doesn't have to deal with these people anymore, she'll be fine. But Jesus says this is just a symptom, a hunger pain of something deeper that's going inside of you. And he asks her a question because he wants her to realize that this isn't her problem. There's something, her problem comes from within. And so he asks her a question to reveal to her that maybe that she's a lonely person yearning for belonging, that she goes from one manipulative relationship to another, always seeking to find one mate that'll be better than the last one. She's searching for something that will satisfy something deeper. And so Jesus tries to open her up, where's your husband? And she still doesn't get it. She wants this water so that she can ignore and run from her problems. She thinks what Jesus is offering is a way to escape all these critical women. We have this problem like this woman that we like to run from our problems. There are things going on in our life that there are relational problems, there's people problems, and we have all these problems in our life, and we pray to God, God, just get that out of my life. Get these circumstances. Get them away. This is my problem. But I think Jesus sometimes wants us to know that maybe the problem isn't outside of you. Maybe there's a hunger, something deeper in you. Because we know that Scripture teaches us that where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom. And where the Spirit of God is, there's joy. That we have, the joy comes from God, and it's not, doesn't determine by our circumstances. It's not determined by our situations. But joy comes directly from God despite what's going on in our life. And so that these problems that we think we have, relations, whether it's people, whether it's things we're embarrassed from, things we want to run from, things we can just hide from, these aren't our problems. But there's something in us that needs to be filled and changed. These things sometimes are symptoms, and how we respond to these things are symptoms of a deeper hunger and a deeper thirst in our life. And I don't know if this woman was trying to pick a fight with Jesus or if she was truly seeking a place to find forgiveness. But she asked him, and he says in verse 19, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, Believe me, their hour is coming when neither this mountain nor Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you don't know. We worship that what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman sort of fully submitting and realizing her inadequacy, how little she knows, she admits that she's ignorant. And she says, I know that the Messiah is coming. He was called the Christ. And when that one comes, he will declare all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I, who you speak, am he. And at that point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he had been speaking with the woman. Yet no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you speaking with her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the man, come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it? And they went out to the city, and they were coming to him, or they kept coming to him. When you go shopping, it's usually a good idea not to go shopping when you're hungry. If you know what I'm talking about, if you go to Walmart, because you come home with a whole bunch of stuff that you probably wouldn't buy if you weren't hungry. And I would say that if you're pregnant and you're hungry, it's even worse. Because who knows what you could come home with? I mean, you could come home with these elaborate desserts, or you come home with jars of Spam. I don't know what you're craving, but if you're not, you know, you come home with these things, and you're like, please. Not that my wife has ever come home with some stuff. Anyway. But what happens is once you eat, right, and you go shopping, you have a better perspective. It's like you have a better understanding of what you need. You're not controlled by these hunger pains. And it's amazing as we look at this woman, who one moment she wants this living water so that she can ignore and run away from these people. But once she gets this living water, once she partakes of this bread of life, once she believes in him and truly takes him as her Savior, it's like she heads right back into the town and she talks to all the people and she tells them about him and she confronts and she talks to all the people in the town. The people she was trying to ignore, all of a sudden, it's like once she gets this living water, it gives her perspective on the situation. It gives her a better understanding of how to view what's going on. And all of a sudden, instead of hiding and running away, she can go to them and share this bread and this living water. I don't know the things that you hunger for. I don't know the things you try to run from, the things you're embarrassed about. I don't know the situations that you say are causing you a lot of unrest and no peace. I don't know the things that are causing a lack of joy, that you think are causing a lack of joy in your life. But Jesus says to him, come to me, right? He says, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. Your joy, your life doesn't come from outward circumstances. It comes from Jesus. It doesn't matter what's going on, because once you partake of this bread and this living water, he gives you a new perspective, a new way of looking at things. These situations you thought were so disastrous, all of a sudden, he gives you a new way of looking at them. And it changes. It takes away the fear. It takes away the embarrassment. And it gives you something more. Now, to be perfectly honest, as a Christian, I'll admit, there are times where I find myself hungry, wanting. There are times when there is something yearning within me. And I have to ask the question, is Jesus lying? Is this living water really going to take away my thirst? Or is there something else going on? And I think you understand. I think you know what I'm talking about. There are times when in your life you're just unsatisfied. There's something missing. But I think what we find in those moments, that in those places in our life, in that part of our life, we really haven't surrendered. We really haven't taken of that bread in our life. We become selfish. We wanted it our way. We want to please our own self and our desires. We're not willing to forgive. We're not willing to love. And so we become wanting. We become empty because we don't take the bread of life. We we don't take the living water and let it dwell and resonate within us. Today we're going to take communion. We have bread, which is a symbolic of the bread of life. And we have water, which is symbolic of the living water. And I don't know if you came in here hungry today. I don't know if you came in here as something is just not sitting right and you're thirst for something. I don't know. But it would be a shame if you left here the same way you came. There are areas in our life we need to surrender. There are things that we need to partake of this bread and we need perspective of God. We're going to have a time of worship, a time of reflection. You can sing, you can stand, you can sit, and you can take communion. Without these next few songs, I'm going to leave them out here, the bread and the water, and you come when you're ready. If there's something you're yearning, if something you're hungry for, you spend time in prayer and seeking that out with God. If you need someone to pray with you, call a friend. Have a friend come with you and pray in your pew, whatever you want. I don't want anyone to leave here hungry, thirsty. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. Come. Spend time in worship and communion with God.